Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. My name is Neil Donald Walsh. The following audio program contains selections from Conversations with God, an Uncommon Dialogue, Book 2, concerning creating your future in the eternal moment, and Sane Sex, Sacred Sex. You are here by appointment, true, but still, you could have failed to show up. You could have decided not to. You chose instead to be here at the appointed hour, at the appointed place, for this program to come into your hands. So thank you. What you have here is that for which you have been looking, that for which you have been yearning for a very long time. What you have here is your latest, and for some of you, perhaps your first, very real contact with God. This is a contact. And it is very real. God is going to have an actual conversation with you now, through me. I wouldn't have said this a few years ago. I'm saying it now because I've already had such a dialogue, and I therefore know that such a dialogue is possible. Not only is it possible, it is happening all the time, just as this is happening, right here, right now. My first experience of talking to God on your behalf occurred in 1992 and 93. I had written an angry letter to God, asking why my life had become such a monument to struggle and failure. My letter to God demanded to know why and what it took to make life work. To my astonishment, that letter was answered. How it was answered and what those answers were became a book, published in May 1995 under the title Conversations with God, Book 1. The process by which this information arrived was exquisitely simple. On a blank sheet of paper, I would merely write a question, any question, usually the first question that came to my head. And no sooner was the question written than the answer would form in my head, as if someone were whispering in my ear. I was taking dictation. With the exception of the few words I'm speaking now, all the material in this book was placed on paper between spring of 1993 and a little over a year later. I'd like to present it to you now, just as it came from me and was given to me. Well, it's Easter Sunday, 1993, and as instructed, I'm here. I am here, pencil in hand, writing pad before me, ready to begin. I suppose I should tell you, God asked me to be here. We had a date. On Easter Sunday, 1992, 1 year ago today, God began a dialogue with me. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's what happened. Not long ago, that dialogue ended. I was given instructions to take a rest, but told also that I had a date to return to this conversation this day. You have a date, too. You're keeping it right now. I'm clear that these words are being spoken not only to me, but to you through me. Apparently, you've been looking for God and for word from God for a very long time. So have I. Today, we shall find God together. That's always the best way to find God, you know, together. We shall never find God apart. I mean that two ways. I mean, we'll never find God so long as we are apart. For the first step in finding that we are not apart from God is finding that we are not apart from each other. And until we know and realize that all of us are one, we cannot know and realize that we and God are one. God is not apart from us, ever. And we only think we are apart from God. It's a common error. We also think we're apart from each other. And so the fastest way to find God, I've discovered, is to find each other, to stop hiding out from each other, and of course to stop hiding out from ourselves. The fastest way to stop hiding out is to tell the truth to everyone, all the time. Start telling the truth now and never stop. Begin by telling the truth to yourself about yourself. Then tell the truth to yourself about another. Then tell the truth about yourself to another. Then tell the truth about another to that other, and finally tell the truth to everyone about everything. This program is about truth, not my truth, God's truth. Our initial dialogue, God's and mine, was concluded just a month ago. I assume this one will go just like the first. That is, I ask questions and God answers. I guess I'll stop and ask God right now. God, is this how it's going to go?
Yes.
I thought so.
Except that I'll bring some subjects up myself without you asking.
Why are you adding that twist here?
Because I asked you here. The first contact you started by yourself. This time you have no agenda, except to do my will.
Yes, that's correct.
That, Neil, is a very good place to be. I hope you and others will go to that place often.
But I thought your will was my will. How could I not do your will if it's the same as mine?
That is an intricate question, and not a bad place to start. Not a bad place at all for us to begin this dialogue. Let's go back a few paces. I've never said that my will was your will.
Oh, yes, you have. You said to me very clearly, your will is my will.
Indeed. But that is not the same thing.
It's not. Could have fooled me.
When I say your will is my will, that is not the same thing as saying my will is your will. If you did my will all the time, there would be nothing more for you to do to achieve enlightenment. The process would be over. You would be already there. One day of doing nothing but my will would bring you enlightenment. If you had been doing my will all the years you've been alive, you'd hardly need to be involved in this project right now. So it's clear you have not been doing my will. In fact, most of the time you don't even know my will.
I don't.
No, you don't.
Well, then why don't you tell me what it is?
I do. You just don't listen. And when you do listen, you don't really hear. And when you do hear, you don't believe what you're hearing. And when you do believe what you're hearing, you don't follow instructions anyway. So to say that my will is your will is demonstrably inaccurate. On the other hand, your will is my will. First, because I know it. Second, because I accept it. Third, because I praise it. Fourth, because I love it. Fifth, because I own it and call it my own. This means you have free will to do as you wish, and that I make your will mine through unconditional love. Now, for my will to be yours, you would have to do the same. First, you would have to know it. Second, you would have to accept it. Third, you would have to praise it. Fourth, you would have to love it. Finally, you would have to call it your own. In the whole history of your race, only a few of you have ever done this consistently. A handful of others have done it nearly always. Many have done it a great deal. A whole slew of people have done it from time to time. And virtually everyone has done it on rare occasion, although some have never done it at all.
Which category am I in?
Doesn't matter. Which category do you want to be in? From now on, isn't that the pertinent question?
Yes.
And your answer?
Well, I'd like to be in the first category. I'd like to know and do your will all the time.
That's laudable, commendable, and probably impossible.
Why?
Because you have far too much growing to do before you can claim that. Yet I tell you this, you could claim that. You could move to godhood this instant if you chose to. Your growth need not take so much time.
Well, then why has it taken it so much time?
Indeed, why hasn't? What are you waiting for? Surely you don't believe it is I holding you back?
No, I'm clear that I'm holding myself back.
Good. Clarity is the first step to mastery.
Well, I'd like to get to mastery. How do I get there? How do I do that?
Keep listening. That's exactly where I'm taking you.